Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I explore the ongoing revolution of consciousness that's happening in this country and around the world. And particularly last few weeks, we've been focusing on this great Crystal Skull event that's coming to New York October 9th and 10th. And one of the keynote speakers of that event is on the phone with me today, Dale Walker. Welcome, Dale.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Alan.
I saw you. I think you were probably one of the first people that ever introduced me or a lot of people to Crystal Skulls in New York over 20 years ago. And how did you get into the whole thing?
Well, my mentor, my master teacher that was teaching me all kinds of interesting things, was very interested in skulls. His name was Nick Nocerino. And when he first started talking about it, he said he had located a skull he was going to bring to up here to the Bay Area and do some research on it. He called it the Mayan skull. And I really wasn't very interested because I was involved much more into healing and metaphysical objects. But it was interesting. It was intriguing. And so at the same time, he invited me to come and be a part of his team. I could not do that because I was traveling to different states and doing workshops. But when I came back, he showed me a couple of photographs, and something went click inside me. And I got really intrigued. As it came up, I was able to help him to work with Anna Mitchell Hedges, who, of course, owned the Mitchell Hedges skull at the time, so that we could actually go to Kitchener, Ontario, to her home and do a psychic research, bring a team with us, do psychic research on this particular skull. So we did that, and it was quite dramatic in the sense that we were able to find the code that opened up this recorder and brought out all these images and information.
Let me follow that. You were able to open up a code within the crystal skull that brought images?
Imagine a computer, Alan, with all of them have codes that allow you to tap into certain files. Imagine a computer, a graphic system that through a series of signals, through a meditation, through a prayer, through a light or sound, we were able to find the actual trigger that opened up the skull, which, by the way, this skull was absolutely clear. It had a faint little cloud in one corner, and that was it. It was just like a piece of ice.
Wait, is that the Mitchell Hedges skull you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
And okay,
when we
were able
to open it up, we had all kinds of images come up of buildings, of people, of animals, of dinosaurs, of even one particular interesting picture of a UFO. And, of course, now we're just absolutely fascinated because this is something that we had not expected, and it was a tremendous experience. So that got me going.
I went back
two more times with Nick Nocerino, just the two of us, and we studied the skull some more and took some more pictures. And then I had the opportunity to get one of my own skulls, Rainbow, through one of my students that was giving a class, and he wanted to buy one of my pieces of jewelry called the Wheel of Life. And it was very expensive. It was made of gold and rubies and emeralds. And so he said, well, look, I can give you half cash, half trade. And to trade, he wanted to offer me some carvings left to him by his grandfather when his grandfather died. One of those carvings was a skull.
I see. But tell me about those images that you saw. How did you, I'm not quite following how you accessed them, because they were visible, these images, right?
That's right. But now, think about it. You're sitting in front of a computer. You're looking at a monitor. And you don't see anything. Or you just see the backdrop. And then suddenly you click in a couple of things on the computer, on the keyboard, and you give a picture comes up.
Yeah,
now, that's really an amazing experience. But the fact of it is, you have a code, and that code accesses the information. What we did is we found a code that was latent inside the skull that enabled the pictures to come up at our command.
Yeah, now what is that code? I mean, that's what I'm missing, that little piece.
Well, that's the difficulty of it. See, this is not like clairvoyant vision. Clairvoyant vision is basically your inner mind or your inner eyes being able to see something that your physical eyes can't see. Okay, but that's just the inner vision. A lot of people had seen this skull and they saw pictures inside it, but they weren't able to photograph the pictures. What we were able to do is we were able to bring actual pictures, energetic images, that we could photograph and look at and have prints of. And I even have prints of those pictures.
Okay, but I just don't know how, what you did. Did you shine a light in a certain way, a laser? I'm curious.
Well, we did use light and color, not a laser, but simply a flashlight with a color gel piece of plastic around it so that we were able to beam a certain color in. We experimented with different colors to see if that was how it would be activated. Then we experimented with doing certain prayers and mantras and chants. We experimented with simple mental direction or focusing our mind to direct the skull to release its images. Nick had already found out through the experience with the Mayan skull, he was able to get some images to come out of it. Not many, but he was able to get some. So he knew that the ancient skull had the capacity to store images, and that's what his theory was, which we were able to validate.
Okay, so let's now talk about the spiritual dimensions of these skulls. Or why are these skulls here? What are they trying to tell us? What are we doing with them?
Over and over again, I get the same message coming from here, that these skulls, the ancient skulls, and I will identify two different types of skulls, okay, as we go. But right now, the ancient skulls, or what I call the premier skulls, came here with a specific purpose, and they have a consciousness of their own. These skulls come out now at this time because they're assisting our consciousness to raise our vibrations to match the natural changes taking place with the planet. We're moving into a whole new level of consciousness. Whether we like it or not, it's happening, and we're going to have to live with it. It's just like saying, well, the sun's going to shine more today, whether you like it or not. We have to live with it. So this new consciousness is raising a vibration, is becoming aware of a greater world and the physical senses. It's becoming stronger and stronger. If you think about it, Alan, go back 30 years and think about how many people were talking about psychic awareness or doing psychic readings. There were very, very few of them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, today there's a psychic on every corner. Why is that? It isn't because people are making things up. Real psychics are awakening to the fact that there is a world beyond the physical world. And it's taken in my world, I started in 1975. So it's taken 35 years for physics to come along and say, oh yeah, there's a whole world outside the physical world and it's called quantum physics.
Right. So,
isn't that interesting? Science is finally catching up with the visionaries.
So, but now these skulls, we'll talk maybe about where they're from, but it sounds like they were encoded whenever they were made to kind of like a time release message. The message would only be ready when the consciousness of the planet was ready to receive it. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. That falls in line with much of the information we've been given. Not only that, but these skulls, at least the ones I'm talking about, what I call the premier skulls, they're premier skulls and then they're ritual skulls, and I'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
The premier skulls are skulls that have a purpose or a mission. They came here specifically to do two major things, and one of them is to chronicle the rise of consciousness in cultures around the world. And they have information stored from different cultures and different times back to as much as a million years. Now, the ritual skulls were ones which are created by magicians or juju men or medicine people, who shamans, if you will, who wanted to have a tool which they could activate and would help them to get to different levels of consciousness that they wanted to go to. So there's a real difference. There's a lot of those coming out now, and a lot of them came up from China. But right now, I'm dealing with premier skulls because I only have one ritual skull, and all the rest of them are premier.
So the premier skulls, I mean, let's also include the event in New York. Which one of the premier skulls do you feel, and of course that's open to debate, will be in New York, and of course, who made them, how old are they, where did they come from, all that, but which ones first will be in New York that you're aware of coming up?
They have a really good lineup of the people I talked with, Kendall, and about the choosing of different skulls. He just asked my opinion, that's all, and then he made his own decisions. But so far as I can tell, most of these skulls that are here now are premier skulls, the ones that are being shown today. I will be bringing actually four skulls.
What skulls are you bringing?
I'm bringing Rainbow, Madre, Czar, and a new skull that people have not known about called Nefertiti.
And are these all ancient skulls?
Every one of them.
They're ancient meaning what? How old? 5,000?
Well, pretty much defined ancient, or put the skulls into three categories. This is just convenience, okay? There's no rule about this. But we have it in three categories. One is modern skulls. That's the ones that are made today by the millions. It's all over the world.
Right. Okay.
The other are the older skulls, which you might say are hundreds of years old, up to about 1,000 years old.
And, that's pretty good. Those are pretty amazing if they're 1,000 years old.
Yeah, well, some of these can be identified by the fact that they were found in certain places where with materials that could be carbon dated. You can't date a skull. You know that. Because there's no carbon in it. And the method of dating is carbon-14 dating.
Well, you're saying you can't date stone because there's no living matter to measure the half-life of carbon.
Absolutely. Well, let's just go even better than that. If you could even know what the date of the skull is, or the quartz was, how old the quartz was, how would you know when it was carved?
Well, also, I've read there's no, on the original skulls, there's no, if you look at it under a microscope, there's no machine marking. So they were made before the industrial age. I guess Nick Nocerino would tune in psychically to see if the skulls were authentic and had a presence to them, right?
That's right. And what's intriguing about this is that they both the Smithsonian and the British Museum have put out a little paper or a comment where they say that they looked on their skulls, the Mitchell Hedges skull, the British Museum skull and the Paris Museum skull, and they looked under an electron microscope and they found wheel markings. Well, since they consider that most of the skulls came from the Mesoamerican area and under the Aztecs, and they did not have a wheel, then therefore it couldn't have been made in South America because it had these wheel markings, and it didn't have a wheel, okay? And so therefore it must have been made in Spain or Eder Oberstein around the 1800s, okay? And if that's true, then that means these are fakes because there's nothing psychic or anything about it. They were just made for people to buy. That's what they're saying. If you go on their website, especially on the British Museum website, you see this whole thing, which is full of holes, is not a scientific statement at all, because the first question I sent to them about this was, well, what about China, India, and those areas who have been using a wheel to make and carve things for 30, 40,000 years. Couldn't it have been carved there and through the natural migration of people come into the Central America or Mexico, Mesoamerica area? And I didn't get a response back from them. So it irritated me that they took this position based on exact, very limited theoretical structure, which isn't backed by any facts.
Well, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about what we do know, because we can't count on institutions to talk about this new era of consciousness that we're moving into. I mean, they're the last to know. And then,
that's true. You know.
And so let's talk about the premier skulls, okay? They are, what, 5,000 or over 5,000 years old, right?
Well, over 1,000 at least. And most of these skulls have been around for a really, really long time. Some of the material, another question comes up, is where did they get the quartz? Most of the skulls were made from quartz found on the earth and carved by Native people, indigenous people. Now, this is what I was told, okay, in the pictures I saw inside the skull, that the material was found, was then, it was shown how to carve it by indigenous people under the auspices of extraterrestrials, and that the energetic part of it, the activation of it, and the timing, as you said, that it would be time to wake up, all of this was all implanted by the extraterrestrials.
Wait, so you're saying the extraterrestrials worked with natives to create these skulls?
Yeah, I saw a vision when I was working with the Mitchell Hedges skull, in which I was inside a huge cavern. And here were these people down at the level, a lot of them holding pieces of quartz. And they were dressed very poorly, like with ragged skins and light materials. On a shelf, if you will, about 10 feet above them were two aliens, the best word for it, that were in long robes, and from the center of the forehead of one of the aliens was a beam that went out, and against the wall of the cave, you could see pictures. It was like from the center of the forehead, they were giving out holographic images, and the people were seeing them. And this was the way they were training them.
Where were the aliens from, you feel? What area, what planet, what?
Well, from a lot of different star systems. One of them, the Pleiadians, Madre, which is my wife Lori's skull, it was very clear that she came from Orion. But once again, they were, how would you say it, a confederation of skull people who were in the business of doing this, and they used skulls because it had been known for many, many generations that energy could be stored in a bone skull. They still do that in Tibet when they have a very great teacher. And when he dies, they take his skull and they clean it out and they cover it with gold, and they set it up with certain herbal tinctures that sit inside it for a whole month or 2 months. And then when they're done, they take another herbal drink, and they lead an apprentice of this man, this great Rinpoche. He drinks the information that was inside the skull of the teacher that was before him. This is still going on today.
Wait, they take the skull of the old teacher, and then they do they grind up the bones and do this?
No. They make a cup out of it.
Oh, out of the skull, and they drink out of the skull.
Right, then they drink out of it. What they do is they make a cup out of it, and then they pour this particular liquid combination, it's herbal material, and they let it sit for I don't know how long. And, I mean, I've seen pictures in my mind working with this thing of the different ritual method by what they were doing this, and they activate this material to absorb the information from the bone skull, because they know that bone is crystalline in nature. If you take a cross cut of a piece of bone, it looks like a crystal, or like a bunch of crystals.
Right. And I think it's calcium crystal, isn't it?
Well, it's quite possible because the bone's mostly calcium. But the bottom line is crystals themselves, the form of crystal, stores information and energy. That's why it's used in electronics. It's not just quartz. There's an awful lot of other electronic property materials that can store information. Bone happened to be one of them.
All right. So, okay, so these extraterrestrials, let's say, created these skulls with these people, and what, so we're coming up to the time where this information is being released, but what did they encode? What did they want to tell us now?
They wanted to record the evolutionary path of the humanoid.
Uh-huh.
And, well, to give you an example of one of the skulls, I have Rainbow, for instance, my premier skull. She has ridges over the brows, and regular skulls don't have that. But both Neanderthal and other pre-humans did have them. One of the friends of mine who did a little video on this, he got an idea. He looked at the skull, and he saw something, and he went back to his research. And he found a copy of a bone skull that fit the pattern he was seeing in Rainbow. He did a computer overlay, and it fit almost perfectly. The only difference is that bone skull was Homo erectus, and that had they have not been alive for over a million years. So the question is, where did the people who modeled this thing, where did they get a model for it? Where did they get a bone skull? There are only 5 known partial Homo erectus skulls right now, and none of them are full.
Well, could it be that these skulls were actually models for the creation of different humanoid races?
That's what I'm thinking.
So that's
what it suggests, that Rainbow would have all these different qualities which are so consistent with Homo erectus. It leads you to think that maybe that's what they used as a model for it.
So when you tune into something like Rainbow psychically, as you've been told to or taught to do, what do you get from that skull that's different from another premier skull?
Oh, they're all the time they're talking about different things, different levels of how consciousness works, what the different levels of consciousness are, what would be a method by which it could be used for distant healing or for direct healing. It's going to be very interesting. One of the things that I'll be doing when I come to the show next month is I'll be showing people how you can use these skulls for healing.
Yeah. Oh, I just
very effective.
Yeah, I should tell people just how to get tickets for that. I mean, Dale Walker, along with I would say some of the best crystal skull experts in the world, will be in New York October 9th and 10th for an event that I'm doing, New Realities, the Edgar Cayce Center of New York, and Oracle Stone Productions out of Arizona. But we're all going to be at the FIT Auditorium. That's 28th Street and 7th Avenue. If you want to order tickets, go to, or you can just, between the hours of 12 and 6, you can call 212-691-7690 or look under my website, newrealities.com, or the EdgarCaseyNYC.org, or also look up Oracle Stone Productions. But it's going to be an amazing show, and you alone, Dale, would be worth the price of admission, you know?
Well, now that's very kind of you, and I take all that nice flattery and just pat myself on the back. Thank you.
Yeah, because of, you know, you've been dedicated to this field of study, and when all these skulls come together, you have 5, and there's going to be about, you know, 7 or 8 other major premier skulls. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you something. I had a reading some time ago with Barbara Marciniak, who channels a group called the Pleiadians. She's a very good channel.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they said about it is when the skulls get together, no matter who's they're getting together, they form different energetic patterns automatically. And we'll be forming a circle and putting these skulls all together and see what happens. What's going to happen? I haven't the slightest idea. These darn skulls don't tell me everything they're going to do. They just go ahead and do it. They expect me to go along with it, and they're right. I will do that.
Well, you're saying
they have their own consciousness. They have their own plan, their own process that they're taking people through. All I can tell people is they will absolutely have one of the most unique experiences of their life if they come to New York and attend this conference. It's a fabulous combination of a group of people and a group of serious people who are involved with working with these, including some very good scientists. And I understand you're going to honestly have a channeling by Bashar as well.
Well, he's done a videotape talking specifically about the crystal skulls. It would be great if we could get Barbara Marciniak there. Are you in touch with her?
I'm not. She's a very busy lady, but you can go online and do a Google search for her, and I'm sure you can find her very quickly.
I mean, we will have Mayans, ancient, these elder Mayan shamans there.
Right.
Don Alejandro and Humbatsman, which are more gatekeepers.
Don Alejandro is the one that I like. He's really a knowledgeable individual. He's got a very, very, very powerful shaman.
But, you know, the way you're talking about the skulls, and I think we should go into this a little more, is that they seem to be like presence. There's like a personality or, let's say, a being or consciousness in each of these skulls. Can you talk about that?
Well, I'll tell you some interesting things that have happened. When I started working with the ancient skulls, one of the things I found out immediately was I could not tell the skull to do anything. I could not make it do something. If I take a piece of quartz, I can make that quartz do things for me.
Like what? Okay, do what for you?
Well, for instance, I can take a piece of quartz and I can project somebody's image into it and send energy to that person any place in the world. I've done this for over 30 years. Okay, I can't do that with the ancient skulls, not with the premier skulls. The ritual skulls, yes, you can do that, because they were designed to be used for man to work his rituals. But the premier skulls are a consciousness of their own, and they will not do anything they don't want to do. You can't make it do something. You can't make it send something to somebody. Okay, mm-hmm. You can't do that. Now, the other part of it is, They have like an unlimited, well, a good example, for instance, the premier skulls, at least the ones that I have, can actually charge up another modern skull or a baby piece of quartz. They can put energy into that thing and put a certain level of consciousness into it. And what's intriguing about that is the energy that's put into it is not like a battery being charged. It's like connecting directly to the skull, because a regular skull or a regular piece of quartz can be charged like a battery. But if that's used for healing especially, it uses up the energy, and you can measure all of these things. But you can't do that with the skull. When an ancient skull, when a premier skull charges another skull of any kind or another piece of quartz, the energy is never lost. You can use it as many times as you want to for healing or any other purpose, and it simply renews itself. And that was amazing to me, because I've never found anything could do that before. Once it charges in, it just never loses it. Okay, so that's different.
Yeah. Hello?
A ritual skull, on the other hand, can be used for whatever purpose you want to do, and you can actually tap into rituals other people have used in past times.
But talk about what's in these skulls. What is this thing in the skull? I mean, they talk to people. You say you're getting information. Who's in these skulls? Where? I mean, how can
I quite frankly think they're like a radio, that somebody has the communication capability of from another dimension tuning into it and talking telepathically to an individual. When I talked to them about it and asked them about it, they said, we are just entities, levels of consciousness. Now, what does that mean? You know, what are levels of consciousness? Obviously, it's something more than physical, because these are not physical beings. At least they're not physical when they communicate. They communicate telepathically. And the visions and all the images that they give me when I'm looking at them are telepathic images.
Well, you have five skulls, right? You said five premier skulls?
I will be bringing with me four.
four.
I have a total of 16 premier skulls and one ritual skull.
You have 16 premier skulls? I thought there were only 13 ancient skulls.
Ah, see, that's the mystery. That when that idea of 13 skulls first started coming out about 15 years ago, I looked at it and I thought, well, I don't understand. I can count at least 20 active ancient crystal skulls right now. So where's the 13? The 13 are specifically 13 premier skulls of one family group or one active group. Okay, that have combined together before and will combine again in the future. Okay, so the question is, which 13? You talk to 100 people, you're going to get 100 different answers. We don't know.
Well, what happens when you put your skulls together, your 16 skulls?
Oh, they give me a headache. They all talk at once. Hey, it's a pain, let me tell you. You know, people think that being a guardian of ancient crystal skulls is just a plaything. Well, it's not. They have an agenda, and they expect you to drop everything you're doing and do what they want to do. And most of the time, they get away with it because I'm very clear, my inner teachers are very clear about my participation working with the skulls themselves. I'm a major part of working with it, and I can get away from it if I wanted to.
Like, what kind of thing does the skulls want you to do? What's their agenda?
Right now, it's connecting to the people around the world, and we're doing that with the Internet. I'm doing a major expansion of my website, in which I'll be putting out much more of the skulls. I'm going to stick to the skulls that I have particularly that are mine I'm working with, and then an occasional guest skull that I've had an opportunity to work with. A good example is the fact that there are different types of skulls that are surfacing and coming to me through my different contacts that are not ready to surface to the public yet. I just recently received some photographs from one of my close friends about a fluorite crystal skull, which he's had for over 17 years, and I've known this lady for at least 12 of those years. She's never said a word to me, even knowing that I work with crystal skulls. He kept this thing quiet. But now she's coming out with it. She just sent me some pictures. I have previously worked with another fluorite skull, which is very big. This one is about normal human size. The one I saw before that was 22 pounds, and from the head to the bottom of the jaw was at least 12 inches long. It was a giant skull. Oh, now what about all of these? See, I'm still in the process of looking at the skulls I've got and the skulls that are coming at me. And
I'm just one person. Have you met the mystery skull that's coming to New York, the 33-pound one that's going to be publicly premiering there?
I know about that skull, but I've not had the opportunity to meet with it. But I will be doing some private stuff with that skull when I get there.
Right. That's going to be amazing. And another thing that's coming to New York is the Atlantean orb, which is – have you met the
– Well, you know, that's Oh, what's his name, the chiropractor that got that?
Ray Brown.
Yeah, I met Ray Brown many, many years ago at a conference in San Diego, and I think that his ball is very intriguing, definitely has some energy, and it's really worthwhile looking at. It's got some fabulous phantoms inside it, which just look just like pyramids. And and it definitely has an energy that I think is intriguing. I don't know where that fits within the activity of the ancient skulls, but that's a very good question to ask.
Well, my vision is for this event, we get these Mayan shamans there who are, I would say, galactic gatekeepers. They do some ceremonies along with a woman named Flor de Mayo of the 13 grandmothers. You know Flor de Mayo, yeah. Well, if they open up a doorway or a portal of energy, and these skulls then are are also activated to kind of open up a dimensional doorway. I think we can have a really high enlightening event that will transform people and expand their minds and show them things they've never seen before.
Well, I would agree with you very much because it's very obvious to me that from the other times that I've been together with different skulls, bringing these different skulls together is going to cause an energetic shift in consciousness for anybody who comes to this conference. As I said, so they better be prepared to make some major changes in their life in terms of how they perceive the universe. It's going to open up and cause a major change inside you. So be prepared for that.
Well, Ted, prepare us a little bit, Dale. Like, what are the changes? I mean, like, what would people expect? What are people supposed to do to prepare?
Well, they don't really have to prepare much at all, although they should take up some form of meditation. They need to still the conscious mind so that the non-conscious mind or the unconscious mind can bring in this new information and make the changes inside them. They're going to be reprogrammed. They're going to be activate abilities and talents. They're going to find out that psychic suddenly becomes natural for them. They begin to get information from other people, from other places. They begin to know things they have no reason to know. They begin to become, to understand things. They begin to be able to discern the difference between something that's of consciousness level and something that's just of the senses. So it's an automatic change that's taking place anywhere in the universe, but the skulls are focusing for helping mankind to do exactly that, to keep up with the change that's already taking place.
Well, I think that's a really good point you're making. I think, you know, we have latent within our consciousness all sorts of knowings and awareness, and we've been so conditioned to ignore that. And I think the times are changing. The alignment of the sun to the galactic center is affecting human consciousness. And when you say we'll know things that we haven't known before, it's about trusting what's going to be coming to us. It's a reactivation of our ancient connection to the earth, and it's about going beyond this idea of objective reality and trusting more the subjective experience. So I think that's a big shift that's going to be happening in consciousness around the planet.
One of my students made a comment about it one time to me. He said, why is it that I can't explain these things to my family? They say it's nonsense. And I said, but they're absolutely correct. It is nonsensical.
Yeah.
We identify our world and our reality by our physical senses, there are only five parts of a very big whole. What about all the other senses? What about our awareness, our consciousness? Everything is changing and it's becoming much more sensitive, much more powerful. We're going to be able to start looking at ourselves and saying, I'm changing, and I'm going to change my life so I can reflect that. So I start eating different. I start exercising. I start meditating. I start listening to my inner self. I start dreaming and thinking, taking records of my dreams. Because we are changing whether we like it or not. And wouldn't it be nice if it goes in a way that we can have some control over it? That's what I'm looking at. The skulls are going to give us a way by which we can do this and do it with some control and understanding.
Wait, that's the piece I've been sort of interested in. The skulls, so we're changing whether we like it or not. The skulls are here in the shape of a human skull. They're resonating with our, you know, structures, our basic human structure, and in a way helping guide this new experience of consciousness, in a sense. And people will be opening up to new facets of experience that go beyond this old paradigm. So the skulls themselves are guardians for humanity to evolve.
That's what they said they were.
I see. So all of these skulls coming together from different extraterrestrial races in one room, it's sort of opening the doorway to our galactic family. That's what's coming to me.
Well, not only that, but if you really look at it, we can identify that changes are taking place in consciousness anyway. If you were to do a graph on psychic awareness starting in, say, 1970 up to 2010, that's only 40 years. But in that period of time, there is a huge awakening all over the planet to psychic awareness, telepathy, clairvoyance, all of the different gifts and abilities. And people are becoming more and more aware of all things around them. Now, it isn't just the old way now. We're already doing it. And whether we like it or not, a change is taking place. Why not go to something that you can be sure is going to help you to get some control over that so that you can evolve peacefully rather than just dramatically?
Well, and also be I think that's really good. Yeah, this event, I think coming together in a group of people as well will start to fine-tune that experience. I think that's something that would be great if you could talk about that to the audience at the New York event.
I'll be talking about basically the research that I've been doing all these years and the experiences that have come as a result of it. And it's going to be pretty dramatic stuff.
Well, that's great. I'm really happy you're going to be there. But now, we only know what we know, right? I mean, tapping into the unknown is what I think we are preparing for. And how are we going to how are you going to know what we don't know? I guess I'm asking you.
When you start realizing that you understand something that you didn't understand before, when you start realizing that you're with somebody and suddenly you feel something about them rather than just listen to their words, how many times have you walked into a room and felt the emotion in the room, like a pressure against you? How much more is that going to be when we realize that we can feel the emotion of somebody or the energy of somebody 1,000 miles away? And I can show you how to do that in just a couple of minutes. It's not that difficult.
What I'm getting is what you just said there is the key to sort of what I was looking for. This turning of the ages, this opening up to new consciousness has to do with the feeling. Thinking is taking a backseat to feeling. For so long it's been, what do we think, and intellectual understanding and logic. And now what's coming in, and I think you're saying it right there, is how do we feel? What's our intuitive impression? How do we go by this sense that can't be explained in words? I think that's really key to this shift of consciousness.
I'll tell you where the shift is taking us, Alan. It's kind of starting to rearrange the way that we work with our logic and our intuitive selves. You know, we have two sides of our brain, the hemisphere. One's an
right.
Opposite side, one's an intuitive. Okay, but too many years now we have been lopsided in dealing with everything that is logic, because logic can be explained by language, and all language is controlled by the senses. That is, you cannot say something and describe something with language that's not sensory, because you'll talk about what you see, what you hear, what you feel, and so forth. Okay, but what about those things that you get that are not logical? What about knowing that somebody... I've had times when I first started doing this, when I would be walking along on a road, and suddenly this song came into my mind, and suddenly the guy in front of me starts whistling this song after I had thought of it in my mind. He started whistling.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, isn't that intriguing? I mean, you can start thinking about that, and you realize there's no way logically I could have known that, or I could have had that. And then you start talking about coincidence, and I just don't believe in coincidence at all. I don't believe in it. I think there's activation of process, and everything is a part of process, and something that looks like it's a coincidence is something you should investigate. Okay, because what's happening is happening. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I get that, and I think the new sciences, the new physics, the understanding of a field effect, that's what's going to be playing a role in at least some explanation, you know, because we admit a field. We're not limited to our physical bodies, but we're greater than the body, you know?
Well, and people are finding that out all over the place. There are more and more people are becoming psychic, more and more people having psychic dreams, more and more people are finding that they can do healing. I teach people, I show them how to do healing in as little as 5 minutes' time, and it can be effective, and they can actually take away physical pain in 5 minutes' training. Now, because it's really very simple, it's just that we don't know how to do it. But now we're starting to open up an awakening. And fortunately, we're getting the teachers to come along to explain to you how you can use that. What would it benefit you, for instance, if you could see the image of somebody 1,000 miles away and you detect the image or problems in that body and send healing and it would be effective? Wouldn't that be something?
Well, of course. I see it happen all the time. But, yeah, I mean, but the subtext of that is understanding that we are much more than we've been told, that we have a greater...
We are not just our senses, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We are not just our senses. In fact, it's been said by many, many, many teachers that the conscious level awareness, which is our logic, our reasoning, our language, our physical senses, is like a tip of an iceberg. It's just the tip. All underneath it is where the real information, the real knowledge, the real awareness, the real consciousness level is. Is after you get beyond the physical senses or you shut down the physical senses. All of the great masters and teachers will train you, first of all, to calm the physical senses so that you can go beyond it to the real world.
Well, it's pretty amazing that this time has arrived on the planet for so long. You know, those have been secret knowledge and suppressed by a mainstream who wanted to take people's power away from them. And it seems like that they can no longer do that. We are becoming masters of our own destiny now, And finally, the time has arrived. You must be very happy about this.
Well, for sure, except for the fact that, like I said, these skulls are real fierce taskmasters. They keep wanting me to do all kinds of things, and they forget I'm also a human being, and I've got a life beyond the skulls. They don't really understand that. So sometimes I have to just tell them, no, I'm not going to do that. But most of the time I do what they want to do. And at the same time, I'm really happy to look around the world and get emails from people around the world talking about their experiences, because it's happening. It's happening right now. It's not yesterday. It's happening now.
Right. Well, actually, what is your website and email, and how can people contact you?
Well, my email is my name, D-A-E-L, not D-A-L-E, but D-A-E-L. walker@aol.com. That's pretty simple. dalewalker@aol.com. I always answer my emails, but if I get tons of it, they'll just have to wait in line. My personal work, my family work, my skull work comes first, then I'll answer emails, but I will answer. That's a promise. Okay.
Okay.
Then the other
and your website is what?
crystalawareness.com.
CrystalAwareness.com. And when you're in New York, are you going to do sessions with people?
Yes, I will. I'll be doing two different things. One, either private sessions where the individual wishes to be with the skull personally. And I'll have four different skulls available. And then there will be those that wish to have me work with a skull to answer it like a reader or a reading would do. So those people who want me to do a personal reading working with a skull, they need to prepare a list of questions. And I will answer those questions. My private sessions are 1 hour apart. They last about 50 to 55 minutes. Then there's a short break. Then we go into the next session. So if people want time, I just tell you right now that if they really want time, they should start calling up the
ARE Center, yeah.
Reserving the space because it goes really, really fast. And once people arrive at the conference, there'll be no time left at all. And I only have one day in which I'll be there. That's on the 12th.
That's the 12th is the
On the 11th. I beg your pardon. Excuse me. I'll be available all day on the 11th to do private sessions.
Yeah.
The 12th is a free day that I've chosen to be with friends of mine in New York. And on the 13th, I come back home.
All right. So if you want to make an appointment for Dale and his private readings, call the Edgar Cayce Center in New York. They are booking appointments along with other Crystal Skull Keepers. We'll be doing private sessions as well. And to order tickets for this event, call 212-691-7690, but just during the office hours between 12.
Give them that number again. This is important. They really should come to this conference.
Yeah, you definitely want to be at this conference. If you're listening to this program, it means that you are open to these types of conversations. You'll be meeting people, but really an activation, and I think a planetary activation will be happening when all these skulls and people and healers and leaders in this field come together on 10-10-10, the 9th and the 10th. But I think it's all of us there in this room, and Stephen Halpern will be playing his amazing music.
And buddy of mine.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So that number is 212-691-7690. Just during the day. You can also go to the Edgar Cayce Center NYC .org. Let me just check that. And you can also go to my website, newrealities.com, to order tickets for that event coming up. But really, it's really going to be a beautiful time. Yeah, if you go, I got the website. It's Edgar Cayce NYC. That's EDGARCAYCENYC.org. And right there on the home page, you'll see these crystal skulls in a circle. Click there, and you can get your ticket right online. So I really welcome everybody. You know, there's people coming from Europe, Australia, I think there could be some people coming from. There's a woman coming from Mexico. I mean, there's people coming to be a part of this energy that is an experience that I don't think has happened before.
No, not like this. And I look forward to meeting all these people. It would be a real pleasure.
Yeah, just a few more questions I want to ask you about the skulls themselves. And 2012, it seems like this is all a preparation for a big shift that I feel will be happening in 2012. What's your impressions of the 2012 timeline?
I think that the shift is already starting to take place. This is an acceleration. I believe that 2012 is going to accelerate the awareness and consciousness. People are worried about the end of the world. We're already looking at changes, major changes in weather. Of course there are going to be changes because you can't bring in something new without getting rid of the old. So we're going to consciousness levels. We'll be going through physical changes. We'll be going through shifts in political processes. It's a major, major time of change, and so that's it. The question is, do you go with strength or do you go just flowing in the river? I mean, the water just wash you away if you just don't have any kind of strength. Coming to these things is a way to activate and connect with a source of energy that will stay with you. Once you're there, once you have been within the awareness range of these skulls, they will accelerate the changes inside you and give you strength that you couldn't imagine that you would have before.
Well, that's an interesting point. I think that's new to me, but I think I've intuitive that. So you're saying once people are in the presence of these ancient artifacts or beings, really, it's going to shift them in ways that will deepen their experience of reality and who they are and their psychic awareness. Is that what you're saying?
And also increase their willpower and their ability to handle the changes.
Really? That's worth the price of admission as well.
They're here to help us. They're not going to just sit around and just look pretty. They're here to do something for us. They come together energetically to make major changes in the consciousness of people. And one of the things is to increase your willpower so that you have the strength of awareness and strength of discernment that you can go ahead and do what needs to be done and survive.
Right.
People who come to this thing are survivors.
Right. And beyond survivors, they are transformers. They're here to change
Absolutely.
The world, not just survive. But, getting just back to the crystal skulls, I mean, a part of my brain or conditioning has a hard time believing that they're anything more than rocks carved in the shape of a human skull, a human head.
Well, how would you physically prove something like that?
But
that they're different?
Well, I'm just saying, in my experience with them, I felt something. I felt, this is the struggle I think we're all having. It's like I felt what you're saying. I felt a presence. I felt a communication. I felt, yeah. How do you explain it then? Tell me.
Alan, I'm a pragmatist. For over 30 years, I was a construction worker. And you build a building, you're very pragmatic about things. It's step by step and very realistic. So I look for ways to understand or to measure energy changes. Could a skull create an energy change in an object? So I took several different things. One, I took a dowsing rod, and I doused the energy field of a houseplant. I placed the skull next to the houseplant for about 10 minutes, pulled it away, and I doused the energy field of the plant again. And I found there was an increase in the energy, dramatic increase, way beyond any other plant that I'd ever seen. I did the same thing with water and found it charged the water. I did the same thing by using curling camera photography and photographing my fingertips before touching the skulls, then touching the skulls and photographing immediately afterwards. And there was an increase in the light amplitude coming out of my fingertips. And I didn't do this one time. I did this hundreds of times. Because I wanted to find out, how does this thing really work? It's one of the reasons that I mentioned I know that the skulls, my skulls at least, can charge an object and it will retain that charge because it creates an energy connection. Well, I measure everything that I can measure because I like to be verified. It's fine that I get an intuitive process. It's fine that I get images in my head. But if I can't make it do something, it's just images in my head. And I'm not interested in that. I want something that makes something work for me. So if I work on somebody from a distance using a skull, and I see a visual change of the energy of that individual, and I call them up on the phone and say, at this and such time, did you notice anything happen to your problem? And they start telling me what I saw. They tell me that their shoulders suddenly began to get hot, and then the pain started to go away. And that was the picture I saw in my mind. You do this a few hundred times, as I have for the past 35 years, you get a very clear picture of how things really work, and there is no doubt in my mind these skulls are extremely powerful and very valuable for anybody who can come into contact with them.
Wow. Thank you for that, Dale. I really appreciate that. One question I like to ask people, towards the end of the show, is what is the vision of the world that we will be living in once this is all accepted, and our society runs on this. How do you see the future?
I see people beginning to recognize the divinity in people rather than just the image they see. I see people beginning to trust their feelings as being as valuable or more valuable than their senses. I see people who suddenly are aware of a plant, and they can actually feel like the plant's talking to them, or their animal. My wife talks to her animals. I mean, she literally talks, and they talk back verbally. I mean, it's a conversation. I just sit there and I'm tickled and laughing because when she says something, they go and do it. Now, what is that? That's where we all should be. I sit and admire because I'm not that clear at that level as she is with the animals. I'm that with other things, with plants, with crystals, or with a cloud. I did a thing not too long ago with a group in which I showed them all how to break up a cloud with their mind. Took them about 10 minutes, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was all just broken up. Well, what is that? It's just becoming aware of the real self rather than the limited physical sensory self. That's what we're changing into.
Well, that is going to be an amazing world. I mean, of course it's idealistic, but why not, you know? Why not have that society to evolve into? And that's what I've been trying to do. That's what this radio station, BBS Radio, is dedicated to being a part of that transformation. And there's so many people pushing for a new way. And yes, it means the ending of old systems, institutions that don't work. You know, I heard a great quote. It says that religion is in the way of spirituality. Medicine is in the way of health. Schools are in the way of education.
Right. You're absolutely right. I love it.
Your work has been important, right? I mean, that's what you've been doing.
That's right. I never thought of it as being important or unimportant. It just was something that absolutely had to be done.
Exactly. That's why I'm not thinking of it's important. I'm just doing it because it's fun, and not that even has to be done, but in a way, what else is there to do?
I just saw recently a program by Oprah Winfrey, which I was very enthused about because she talked about changing the way all of our schools work and talking to the children who were going to school and happy about it and excited about it and really eager to understand and to know things. And I thought to myself, that's the future. That's what's coming. We go to school because it's so darn much fun, not just because it's something they have to get through for the day, not just something that's dry and unimportant or uninteresting, but by people who are enthused about knowledge and want to show us how enthusiastic we can become. What a world that would be for our children.
Yeah, well, it's true. And I felt that way about school. I was always sort of enthusiastic about learning and meeting people. But yes, I totally agree with you. This is the future. I mean, it's being unveiled before us. And we're seeing it. The future is being made manifest as we speak.
Well, the stars are a major part to accelerate that process. That's my feeling.
What's going to accelerate that process?
I think the skulls and the activity of the skulls is a major stimulus to accelerate that process.
To accelerate the transformation.
Right.
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, they are definitely, with this event, they're becoming much more public awareness. So we might do some press conferences a day before. What day are you coming into New York?
I'm coming in on the 7th, so that I'll be there for the activity we're doing with the United Nations on the 8th.
Right. Okay, so maybe I'm trying to put together a press.
Talk with Kendall about the flight schedule. I don't know yet when my time is. But, of course,
okay.
If I've got any time at all, I'll be happy to go online with you again.
go online, or maybe we'll do some mainstream television, you know.
That'd be great. I'll bring a bunch of skulls with you, and you can have a real good time with them.
Okay, okay. And Jody Sirota is going to be there as well.
Oh, it's an old friend of mine. Jody's a real sweetheart.
Jody's going to be speaking. I also invited this woman, Shelley Yates, to the conference. You know who she is, Shelley?
I don't know her personally, but I'm looking forward to meeting her.
You know her story? She had a near-death experience, and then these beings met her, and they, well, not only saved her and her son, but they told her about this mission called Fire the Grid, where the crystalline structure under the earth would be activated by human consciousness. So I felt it was important for her to be there with the skulls and the etheric entourage she brings with her to help create this global activation. So
it's begun. It started back in the 60s. It's begun now. It's traveling all over the world. That's another thing I didn't talk about.
What has begun? Give us a brief. What tell us about that?
The first activity with the crystal skull started in the 60s with the Mitchell Hedges skull. And at the same time, the activation of the energy grid work of the earth, the ley line activity, the crystal formation. Buckminster Fuller did a thing where he showed that the earth itself was a dodecahedron crystal. I thought that was fascinating back in the 60s when I first saw it. And I was able to talk to Buckminster for a short period of time, and he was very much enthused, and he talked about it, saying that this is something that his inner voices had told him about. Well, now, this is back in the 60s, and yet, if you start thinking about it, consciousness awareness, the flower children, for instance, started in the 60s, and the awareness of consciousness began to really accelerate in the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
So I'm aware of people who have been working with the ley line structure of the earth to activate it and stabilize it so it can hold off some of the major earthquake and earth changes. We're working to increase the consciousness of people all over the world through the energetic structure of the magnetic field of the earth. That's happening as we talk.
Well, yeah, no, I appreciate, I mean, people like Buckminster Fuller were visionaries. They were way ahead of their time, and you know, they helped to initiate this new time of consciousness. So, yeah, it began in the 60s. You're right, this awareness, this global consciousness. You know, when Marshall McLuhan in the 60s said the global village, nobody
right.
knew what he was talking.
No, but he's absolutely correct.
But
that's
they didn't the understand it. There was no he was a visionary, too. They didn't know what he meant, global village.
I'm not even sure Marshall knew what he was really talking about, but that was something he was aware of.
Yeah, I don't think he knew it consciously because he wasn't aware of the internet, of course. But now it's obvious that we are living in a global village, and it's very exciting, and I'm happy the skulls are coming to New York, which is, I feel, one of the power centers of the planet. And if it can make a change here, it can make a change anywhere. And
yes, I agree with you. I'm just thinking of the typical native New Yorker thinking, change me, I'm not going to change. I'm going to be what I am.
Right.
But
you know, we're going beyond our tribal mentalities. You know, not only just citizens of the earth, but I think citizens of a galaxy. And you know, this is what I feel the 2012, whatever that'll be. I do feel we'll have more visible extraterrestrial contacts. I think it'll be something that will be worldwide and acknowledged by all people. I mean, it's going to freak a lot of people out, but I think that's what's coming in this new time is global acceptance that we're not alone. And I think the shift in I think that does go along with this shift in this understanding that to honor our experience and feelings. So I think all
that.
Just
for everybody to understand, one of the messages the skull's got is, yes, it's going to be changed, but there will be a 2013.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's the ending of the world at all. I think it's, you know, where there's an exit, there's an entrance. It's the beginning of a new time.
It's a major shift. It's one, one more acceleration point.
Yeah.
So things are
going to
go faster,
more dramatic. I think it's going from third gear to fourth gear, you know? And we're like, you know, the clutch is down and the engine's revving. And we're about to just move very easily into this fourth dimensional gear. And I think it's very exciting. I think it's one of the most exciting. If I think it is probably the most exciting time we've seen as a civilization, since we stood upright and left the plains of Africa or whatever it was that happened. But, this is the most exciting time in human history. And
I agree with you.
And I'm glad you're going to be there in New York, and I welcome everyone to join me and Dale and about 13 other skulls. Michelle Nocerino will be there. Of course, Nick Nocerino's daughter, the skull called Synergy, who I had a chance to sit with, Shana Ra. It's just really exciting. Really, really exciting. So go to the Edgar Cayce Center, NYC.org. Go to newrealities.com. Go to, what's your website again?
Crystalawareness.com.
Crystalawareness.com. And call during office hours, really from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call to register 612-691-7690. 212-691-7690. So, Dale, any final words?
Well, it's just that we're going to have a heck of a time, and people are going to really be sorry if they don't get to come.
Right. You can also buy tickets at the door. It's the FIT Conference Center at 28th Street, West 28th Street and 7th Avenue, starting 10 a.m. We'll get there a little earlier on October 9th and 10th. It's $150 for the weekend, which is really reasonable. We reduced the prices because we want to get a collective consciousness there. So southwest corner of 28th Street and 7th Avenue, the FIT Conference Center, 10 a.m., October 9th, and it's a whole day event, and you're really going to have an amazing time. I've been talking to Dale Walker. What's your email again, Dale?
My name at daol.com, D-A-E-L Walker at AOL.com. My website is crystalawareness.com.
Okay. Thank you, Dale, for being a guest. Really great information. I look forward to seeing
you
again.
A fun time to be with you, Alan. I look forward to seeing you when we get in New York.
Right. You know, I did meet you, but, you know, 20 or something years ago when you first started to come out.
Yeah, well, it's only been a few thousand people since then I've met, so I'll probably only remember you when I finally see you again.
And there's going to be a few thousand more since. Okay, so... Thanks for all your work. And,
all right, my friend.
Okay. I've been talking to Dale Walker. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Check my website, newrealities.com. This program will be archived on bbsradio.com under New Realities and also on my website, probably under Metaphysics or Paranormal Podcast. So thanks for listening. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And if you want to call me, you can call 212-473-6388 if you want more information about the conference. Thanks for listening. Feel the flame, feel the pain, yes, again.
like a star, above.
So that is Green Fire, group I met in Oregon a few years back. Thank you for listening, and good night.